This morning's reading is found on page 447 in the Pew Bible, reading from 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out and fight against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he's been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that this is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Remember all the songs that we have heard throughout the years about David and Goliath. Remember some of the best Sunday school stories are about David and Goliath. The title of today's sermon is Boldness Born of Faith. Boldness born out of faith. And this passage exemplifies that in a powerful way. David was passed on by everyone. If you read the stories of David in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, you'll see he was passed on by his brother, by his dad. Oh, you know, yeah, I still have one kid. You know, he's out there tending the sheep. He was just a little guy. No one really paid much attention to him. He truly was passed by everyone except God. And that's because David's life was governed by faith. Faith in God. That's really important for God. Faith. His faith in God gave David boldness to face anything that came his way. Can you relate to that? I think we can all say that when we face difficult things in our lives, it's faith that has given us the courage to face whatever we're facing. Faith in God, faith in his goodness, faith in his power. The whole town was terrified of this giant, Goliath, who was mocking them, threatening them, challenging them to come up and fight him. And he would mock and laugh, and everybody ran away. No one had the courage to go fight him until David came into the picture. And he offers. Nobody asks him. Did you notice that? Nobody would dare to ask this kid. They had to be out of their mind to ask David to do that. But David came into the picture, and he offers to go and fight this giant. I mean, that defies any sense of good reasoning. When Saul hears this, he is obviously skeptical. I mean, wouldn't you? And this is the way David responds to his doubts and skepticism. He says, verses 34 through 36, "Well, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God." Do you sense that incredible degree of boldness? Like, what are you talking about, David? The lions are just shrimp in comparison to this giant. What are you talking about, David? Do you see the boldness? Someone could argue, yeah, he was good at fighting against lions and bears to defend his sheep. But this was a giant, and he was armed. Let me tell you that if you're used to walking in faith, there won't be a difference between facing a lion or facing a giant. There won't be a difference. Everyone in the town was terrified of this Goliath giant, but not David. What in the world? Why wasn't he terrified? Because he trusted in God, because of his faith in God. So finally, Saul lets him give it a try and offers him his armor. David tries it. It doesn't work. It was probably way bigger than, you know, the armor than what he was. It just feels cumbersome. And he refuses to use the king's armor. And instead, this is what he does. Verse 40. "Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream." Makes me laugh. Go to the river, find your weapons, David. 5 smooth stones from the stream. He put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he went and approached Goliath. No wonder why Goliath was laughing at him. No armor, no weapon. This little guy approaching him. Yeah, that's faith. That is boldness that is born of faith. When Goliath saw David, this is what he said to him. Am I a dog? He was even insulted that you come at me with sticks. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. This is what David responded to him. Notice the amount of faith that his words are soaked in. He had faith. It was the faith in God, in the God that had helped him fight lions and bears to defend his sheep. This is what he says to him in verses 45 and 46. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, he adds, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. What does Hebrews 11:1 says about what faith is? I shared it with you last week. Faith is a conviction of things that are yet to come, the conviction of things that you see but cannot see with a naked eye, and I'm paraphrasing. Faith is the confidence of what we hope for, other versions say, Hebrews 11:1, an assurance of what we do not see. It's seeing things that are to come as if they have already come. That's a tall calling. It's our calling to display that kind of faith. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you, not may, deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. How is that for a display of what a strong faith looks like? If you ever want to know what a strong faith you need to aspire to, you remember David and Goliath. That's the kind of faith that we are to have. That's the kind of faith that we can have. That's the kind of faith that we are called to cultivate. You plant a little seed, and you know that you need to water it, prune it, take care of it so that it turns into the beautiful plant that you expect. That's what we're supposed to do with our faith. That's the kind of faith Jesus wants us all to have, the faith of David. That's the kind of faith that you and I can have if we invest in it. Last week, I talked about ways in which we can grow our faith. It doesn't come natural. And I don't like it when people say, well, that's really a special kind of faith. I don't have that. What a cop-out. What do you mean you don't have that? You don't have it because you don't pursue it? Because you don't want it? Because you're lazy, maybe? You don't want to be in the Word? You don't want to invest? That's the kind of faith that every child of God is called to have. So, how can we grow our faith? By practicing obedience, my friends. Every time you say no to something negative, every time you say no to your bad thoughts about anybody, your thoughts of revenge or bitterness, hatred, gossip, slander, greed, anything, every time you choose not to and ask God to help you, you're growing your faith. You're saying yes to God. Every yes to God strengthens your faith. But also, by reading the Word of God, that's what the Bible tells us in Romans. Faith comes, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. There's something that is powerfully nurturing our faith when we abide in the Word, when we read it, when we hear it, when we share it, when we are part of it. Reading the Word of God. Number three, we can nurture and grow our faith by staying in fellowship with our fellow believers. Something beautiful happens. Something beautiful happens when we are together. Do you want to know what it is? I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles in Psalm 133. We need to know this because sometimes we don't value the strength and the power that God delivers every time that we are together. And this is not something that was in my notes. This is something that God has given me right now. Psalm 133. Let's read it together out loud. How good and pleasant it is. Read it out loud, everyone. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Pay attention to this last verse. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Where they are gathered together, where the brothers and sisters are gathered together. Thank you, you can put her away. That's where the blessing, God sends his blessing. God is sending a blessing right now in our midst that he will not send when you're alone reading your word. Yes, of course he will bless you. That's another way of being blessed. I just got done talking about by reading the word of God. But there's another kind of blessing that comes to us when we are gathered together as brothers and sisters, worshiping in unison our God and Savior. And then, lastly, we can strengthen our faith by believing in God's promises. Some of the promises of God are hard to believe. They're too good to be true, but they are true. And our job is not to say, well, that's not what he really meant. Our job is to say, my faith needs to grow so that I can believe and accept that promise, and I will begin to ask God to give me faith to believe his promises. That's why I don't let anyone speak negatively. Don't say that, because it's like you're sealing, you're blocking the blessings of God. Children, you know, who are told you'll never amount to anything, you'll be like your father, you'll be like your mother, or I'll never get better, or I don't know, you know. All those things are lack of faith. And God is not pleased with lack of faith. God is pleased with faith. And yeah, we're sometimes afraid of looking like Jesus freaks. Don't be afraid. Your reward will be great. This is why we need to work on strengthening our faith. 1 John 5:4. I shared this last week. I shared it at a Bible study on Tuesday, ladies' Bible study. And I'm sharing it again because it's very important. 1 John 5:4. For everyone, that's us, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Even our faith. So we are like David. We can overcome the giants of the world, the giants of our fears, the giants of our that attack our health, our mental health, our physical health, our finances, our business, whatever the challenge may be. It looks like a giant, but all you need is faith in the God who has given you victories in the past. All you need is, if your faith is weak and malnourished, is to nourish it. And I just gave you four excellent ways to do it: practicing obedience, reading the Word of God, staying in fellowship with our fellow believers, and believing God's promises. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory, John says, that has overcome the world, even our faith. Let me just finish with the last verses from the passage that show us the great victory God, it was not David, God gave David in response to what? To his faith. God responds to our faith. Put that close to your heart. God responds to your faith. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly, not away from him, towards the battle to meet him. So I want you to picture this. This man is a giant. David was a little boy. And instead of running away, Goliath moved closer to him. And David says, ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. It was probably a bullseye by God, directed by the hand of God, right where it needed to be. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. One stone in the right place, directed by the hand of God. So David triumphed over the Philistine, Goliath, with a sling and a stone, without a sword, the passage says. In his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. My brothers and sisters, this issue of faith is really important to God. We cannot be satisfied with our malnourished, pea-sized faith. You may say to me, but doesn't Jesus say that if you have faith like a mustard seed, which is smaller than a pea, we can move mountain? Yeah, so imagine how little our faith is. That's a good way to measure it. If we're not yet able to move mountains, that means our faith is not even like a little mustard seed. We have a ways to go. And Jesus' interaction with his disciples tells us how he reacts to little faith. So let's pay attention as I read this to you, and then we'll pray and we will move on to the Lord's Supper. I'm going to read a few verses from Matthew 17. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." This is what he says to this. "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you?" It's one of the few times that you see Jesus just losing his patience for a moment with the lack of faith of his disciples. And he says it, "You unbelieving," don't believe in my promises, that's what he's saying, "and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private, probably embarrassed, in private, and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. Because you have so little faith." And this is when he said, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." How about that? How about that? How about we pursue that kind of faith? How about we begin today? That should not discourage you. It should encourage you. Because you see, the standards of the kingdom are high, but our God is good and powerful and can help us reach those standards. The church preaches a very, very conventional contentment with worldly faith kind of gospel. That's not the gospel. This is the gospel. Let us live up to it. Let us pray. Father, we have a ways to go, but we have a Father. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit who is walking this journey with us. Lord, no wonder you one time said, "David is a man after my own heart." I have prayed this for years. I want to be like David. And today we all pray this. I want to have the faith of David. Give it to me, Lord. And give me the desire and the determination and the discipline to pursue that faith, to nurture my faith so that it will become a strong faith, so that I too will be able to slay giants with just one smooth stone. Give me that faith, O God. That's what we ask today of you. This we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.